Today's daf is Baba Kama daf Yud Dalid. We are holding on the bottom of daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the fourth wide line, Omer Mar, on daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We are going to continue our discussion from yesterday. We started to discuss what happens if the animal damages Berushus HaNizik VeHamazik. An animal damages in a Rishus that is jointly owned. We know that if an animal damages in a Rishus HaMazik, in its own Rishus, so then he's going to be Pater. But if he damages in Rishus HaNizik, he's going to be Chayev. What about Rishus HaNizik VeHamazik? The Mishnah definitely said something about it, but we had a Machlokas HaMaroyim, what exactly the Mishnah had said about that. Did the Mishnah say Rishus HaNizik VeHamazik Chavamazik, that you're Chayev in that case? Or did it mean to include the phrase Rishus HaNizik VeHamazik with the previous phrase that it's the same as Rishus HaMazik, where you're going to be Pater on Shein VeRegel in Rishus HaNizik VeHamazik? So we're going to continue that discussion, but first we're going to go back to detail that we had mentioned, that in some way when someone gives an ox or an animal to one of the Dalit Shomrim, to a Shomer Chidim, a Shalosh, a Shomer Sachar, or a Socher, and somebody damages somebody, so then he's a Tam is Mishalim Chatzi Nezik, Amur is Mishalim Nezik Shalim. But if it escapes in the middle of the night by someone coming and letting it out, Pratsua listed, or the Mechitza's Nifritza Ba'onas, then he's going to be Pater. So we're going to first discuss what exactly does that mean? Who damaged who in for that halacha to actually be true? And then the Gemara is going to bring up a brisa that discusses four rules of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar when it comes to Nezikin, and we're going to elaborate on each of those four rules. On Amud Beis, we're going to have a Mishnah that lists eight different halachos about payment for Nezek. Once we discuss all the halachos of Nezek, we're going to discuss how do we actually assess the payment for Nezek, and we're going to start to discuss whether it's dafka got to be with karka, what exactly the Mishnah means when it says shum kesef, when it describes some sort of din of payment for Nezek, what it means when it says bifnei beis din, what it means when it says alpi edim. There are all these different qualifications. We're going to get into some of the details. So let's pick up Amar Mar. So we had said in the brisa that we had mentioned at the end of the shir yesterday, Amar Mar kishehizik chav hamazik, that we had said that when the animal damages, so you are a chayiv. So lahavi shomer chidim v'ashol nosisarch v'asocher. We said that comes to include a case of you give an animal to one of the dalit shomrim, and the animal gets damaged. That in that case you're going to be he's going to be chayiv if it's a tam chatzi nezek, if it's a muad nezek shalin. Say chidami, what exactly is the case of that price? I lema da'azke tura de mashil tura de shoel. If the case is that the mashil's ox gored the shoel's ox, so how could it be that the Mishnah is being mechadesh that the mashil has to pay the shoel? That doesn't make any sense. Meaning, I lend you an ox, and now my ox hurts your ox. Now you're going to charge me? I was not kind enough to lend you an ox, and you're going to charge me when my ox hurts your ox? Lemalei, let the mashil say to the shawil, ilu is azik bealma. If my ox would have gored anybody else, but you're the one that's obligated to pay, because it was under your watch that my ox gored something. So if it would have gored anybody else in the whole wide world, you would have had to pay as the shoel who takes responsibility for it. Now that my ox gored your ox, I'm going to have to pay? That doesn't make any sense. I should definitely be Pater. It was under your watch that any of this happened. So the Gemara explains, Ella da'aske tura d'shol tura d'mashil. What must have happened over here is that the borrower's ox gored the mashil's ox. And that's what we're saying, that the borrower has to pay chatzi nezek if it's tam, nezek shalem if it's a muad. So says Gemara, why does he only have to pay chatzi nezek if it's a tam? Lemele, let the mashil say to the shoel, as follows: Ilu itzik me'alma ba'as l'shume kuletura. If my ox would have been hurt by anybody else in the world, by anybody else's ox, while it was under your watch, you would have to pay everything. Hashadaske tura didach palganisku d'mishalmeli. Now that it's your ox that hurt my ox, it wasn't some outsider that hurt my ox while you were watching it. It was your own ox that hurt my ox while you were watching it. Now only half nezek you're going to have to pay. You should have to pay the whole thing. You were charged with guarding my animal. So the Gemara explains the Ola The case must have been that it was the Mashil's ox goring the shovels, damaging the shovel's ox. And when we but we said that shouldn't the Mashil be potter, because if after all, if the Mashil's ox would have hurt anybody else, it's the shovel's responsibility to pay. So why should the Mashil be responsible to pay just because it happened to have hurt the shovel's ox? That the shovel accepted to guard the mashil from any damage that would happen to it through somebody else. That if anything else would try to hurt this ox, he accepts that shmira. But v'lo kibbalav shmiras nezakav. But the shovel never accepted to guard the ox from hurting others, to protect it, to make sure that it doesn't hurt others. So mela, the chiv to guard this shard, not to damage anybody else, is and the chiv tashlum, if it does damage, stays with the original bailim. That doesn't transfer over to the shovel because the shovel never accepted that. So as long as the mazik was the mashil, even if it gores the shovel's ox, the balashar has to pay whatever the normal din would be. Tam chatzi nezek, amur nezek shalem, because that responsibility never transferred over. Frak the Gemara, okay, if he never took responsibility for damage that this borrowed ox is going to do, ihachi ema seifa, but you have to read till the end of the Brisa, where the Brisa then went ahead and said that nifritza balayla, if the mechitza broke down ba'ones, somehow the mechitza just fell apart, osha partzua listim, or gazlanim came, and they opened up the fence and they let the animal out, v'yatza v'zika, and the animal got out and damaged, putter, then the shomer is putter from having to pay. So you can daik that it's dafka if it was at night, that if that happened, he's going to be putter. Habayom chayiv, but the implication is that if the fence would have been broken during the day, then the shomer is going to be chayiv for any damage this animal does. But didn't we just say, halo kibbalah of shmiras nezakav, that he didn't accept upon himself to be responsible for any damage that's done by this animal? How could the shomer ever be chayiv? How could the shoel ever be chayiv if he never accepted upon himself the shmira for damage that it's going to do. We need to add an extra line in, and we have to add that if he was mekabel shmiras nezakav, then he's going to be chayiv. Unless it was nifritza b'layla or pertzua listim, unless it was an ones that happened that everyone, all the dalet shomrim are pater from onsim, then in that case he's not going to be chayiv. The Marsha raises the question: we're talking about that the shomer is mekabel on himself shmiras nezakav of the shor. Then what's the chiddush of the brisa? Meaning, if that's going to be the ukimta in the end of the brisa that he was mekabel, if he was kibel alav then chayiv, so then of course if he's kibel alav he's chayiv. Except if it was known as no shoel, no shomer sacher, no socher, no shomer chinam is ever chayiv anonsim. So he says that we might have thought that the shomer is mekabel on himself only to guard the shor of the mashal, not to damage his own shor, but not that he accepted that the responsibility of the shor of the mashal damaging anybody else. So kamashmalan that if he's accepting upon himself the shmira of this shor, that it's not going to damage anybody, then he's accepting shmira that it's not going to damage anybody. So now frak the Gemara, Eini, is that the din that there's no chiv shein v'regel in a chatzar of shutvim? I mean, we had a machlokas amorayim. We're going back to this machlokas amorayim now. We had a machlokas amorayim. What happens if an animal damages with shein v'regel in a reshus that's owned jointly by the mazik and the nizik? It's a chatzar hashutvim. So we both have rights to keep our animals, to keep our items, to keep whatever it is there. We're shutvim. So what if my animal eats up all of your produce in our jointly owned property? That was a machlokas amorayim. So says the Gemara, is it possible that I'm putter for my animal eating your fruits in a chatzar shutvim? Vatani Rav Yosef, but Rav Yosef taught a brisa, chatzar shutafim, if you have a chatzar that's owned by partners, ve'apunduk, and you have a place where people can like an inn where people can stay by, where people can stay as they're traveling, and one of the shutfim's oxen gores one of the guests or gores the other guy, the other shutaf's property. So chayiv ben ala shein v'ala, or damages, love daf gores. Chayiv ben ala shein v'ala regel. He's chayiv for any damage that's done with shein or regel, any damage that's done as he eats or benefits or as he just happens to walk by, and that's not not considered like a Rishus HaRabim, because only Shutfim or Orchim are allowed to be there. That's considered like Stay Acher. So Tiyufta Drablazer is in this Brisa, Akasha and Drablazer holds that Shane Bregel are Potter in the Chatzar HaShutfim. Here you have explicit that you're Chayiv in the Chatzar HaShutfim. So I answer Gemara, Amalach Drablazer, Vitizbra Masnisin Milo Pligi. Why, you think that you don't have a Stira in Brisas about this issue? It's a Machlokas Tanayim, Vatanya. We have another Brisa that says, Arba Aklolo, Sayyid Rab Shimon Elazar Omer. This is a Brisa we're going to come back to a little bit later. So there are four klalim, there are four rules that Rab Shimon Elazar formulated v'nizakin when it comes to reshuyos of hezek. First rule is kol shu reshus l'nizik v'lo l'mazik. If the nizik has reshus to be there and the mazik does not have reshus to be there, meaning my animal just walks right into your yard, your field, and it had no right to be there, chayev bakol. Then it's chayev in everything. Even if it's a shor tam and it does keren, it's chayev nezek shalim. It's chayev in everything because it had no right to be there. Dimazik v'lo l'nizik. If my animal was in my own property and your animal had no right to be in my property, then pater mikol. Then whatever my animal does, I'm going to be pater. You trespassed, and my animal was locked up in my property, so it had no. There's no problem if it does damage within my property. Laze ulaze kigon chatzar hashutafim va'abika. If everyone has a right to be there, like it's a chatzar hashutfim or it's a bika where everyone comes to graze their animals, pater ba ala shein v'ala regel. So you're pater for shein v'regel because that's not a reshus that's miyuchad for the nizik, so it's not considered stay acher. The Torah says you're only chayv and shein v'regel b'stay acher, but ala negicha v'ala negifa v'ala neshicha v'ala revitza v'ala bi'ita, in anything that would fall under the category of keren, where it's kavanos alazik, it kicks, it tramples, it gores, it pushes, it does something clearly with kavanos alazik, it's going to follow the regular rules of Keren. And then the fourth rule is lolazev lolazev. If everybody's trespassing, neither the nizik nor the mazik has reshus to be there. Kegon chatzar sheino shel shnehem, that it's a chatzar that belongs to neither one of them. The Gemara is going to discuss what exactly this means. Chayiv ba'al shein v'al regel, yechayiv for shein and regel, and al negich v'al neshich v'al negifa v'al revitza v'al bita. Tamer shalim chatzin nezik mur shalim nezik shalim. And normal dinim of Karen apply. So the Rabbi Lazar is defending himself by saying, Katani mihas, what do you see in this braisa? Chatzra shutafim vabika pater ba'al shein v'al regel. That if it's a chatzra shutfim, you're pater for shein v'regel. So Rabbi Lazar says, you're going to bring me tanaim that show that you're chayiv and shein v'regel in a chatzra shutfim? Good, I show you a braisa that says that you're pater and shein v'regel in a chatzra shutfim. So according to Rabbi Lazar, it's a machlokas between the two braises, and he paskins like this second braisa. Now the Gemara is going to say, but it doesn't necessarily have to be viewed that way as a machlokas between the two brises. So they ask the Gemara, Kashya Adadi, the brises seem to be sosur each other, which again, Rabbi Lazar is very fine with the brises being sosur each other. That's what we call a machlokas, and he paskins like the second brisa. But the Gemara is going to say, no, there's a way to reconcile the two brises. Kitanya hi, the brisa of Rabbi Shimon Elazar that Shein and Regel are pater in the chatzar shutfim, that's b'chatzar miyuchedes lezeh ulezeh. That's where both the mazik and the nizik are the owners of that chatzar, and they're both allowed to be there. So bein leperos, bein leshvarim, and they're both allowed to bring peros there, they're both allowed to bring oxen there. So since they're allowed to bring all of the items that were in play, that the damager and the damagee, everything that was there was allowed to be there, so they're going to be pater on Shein V'regel, Chayiv on Keren. But Ahid Rav Yosef, the Brice of Rav Yosef that says that you Chayiv on Shein V'regel in a Chatzar HaShutfim is B'chatzar Miuchedes L'Peiros Ve'ein Miuchedes L'Shvarim. Yeah, it's a Chatzar that's jointly owned, but it's a Chatzar where they're only supposed to bring Peiros. They're not supposed to bring oxen into that Chatzar. Delgabi Shein Havila Chatzar Anizik. So as far as Shein is concerned, an animal and Regel for that matter, the animal does damage by eating something, by walking on something, that's like a chatzar nizik, because the nizik had every right to have his peros there, but he had no right, the mazik had no right to have the shor there, and therefore he's going to be chayiv on the shein v'regel. So the Gemara says, you know, when it's muchach this way, from the lashon of the braisa, dekanami, dekatani hacha, the braisa that Rav Yosef quotes, that's mechayiv niske shein v'regel, in a chatzar shutfim, says chatzar shutfim v'apundak, So it sounds like Dumya de Pundak, that the Chatzar HaShutfim is similar to a Pundak, which is used for anyone who's coming with their Schaira. And it's not normal to bring behemos into an inn. You got to check into the hotel, no animals allowed. Now they have pet-friendly hotels, but no animals allowed when you check into the hotel. You bring whatever, where is your traveling with to do business. V'katani Hasam, but the Brice of Rabbi Shimon Elazar, that says, your Pater and Niske Shein Varegel, in a Chatzar HaShutfim, says Chatzar HaShutfim, not V'apundak, it said, V'habika. So we darsh in Dumya, the Bika, similar to a Bika, which is an open field where you come and you bring your animals to graze. So the Chatzar HaShutfim that we're talking about over there must be similar to a Bika, that you're allowed to bring whatever you want. Shmamina, so you see that this can answer the steer in the Brice, that the Chatzar that they're both allowed to go into with Peros and Shvarim is considered Rosh HaSarabim, and Shaina regular can be Pater, a Chatzar that they're allowed to bring only peros is considered a rishus hanizik and yichayev and shein v'regel in such a case. So the Gemara now says, wait a second. This svara, that a chatzah that's miyuchad for peros and not for shvarim, that you're not allowed to bring oxen, is considered a rishus hanizik. Is that a valid svara? Maskev l'rabizera. Kivan de miyuchedes l'peros. Since it's they're both allowed to bring peros there, so we should patriam on shein regal habi'inam, because after all, the pasuk says, ubir b'stei acher, that it has to be in someone else's field. Veleka, how could you call this someone else's field? If even the mazik is allowed to bring his peros there, it's as much his field as it is the nizik's field. So granted, the mazik wasn't allowed to bring his shar there, but it's not a stei acher. It's not someone else's field. It's his field as much as it is anybody else's. No, but since I wasn't allowed to bring my ox there, as far as my ox was concerned, it's steyacher. It is somebody else's field, and therefore that's a valid reading of that brisa. So how are we miyashiv the steer between the two brisas about shein v'regel and chatzar shutfim? That if it's a chatzar that's miyuchad only for peros, it's considered chatzar and nizik, and if it's miyuchad for both peros and shvarim, it's considered shusram. So the Gemara is going to say, can we also suggest that maybe even the Amoraim weren't really arguing, meaning we thought there was a machlokas Amoraim about Chatzar HaShutfim. That's what we said at the end of the shir yesterday, that a Chatzar that's a Rishus Nizigula Mazik is machlokas Amoraim, whether you're Chayiv and Shein regular Potter. Maybe once we reconcile the Brisos and we say they're not arguing, they're just labeling two different types of things as Chatzar HaShutfim, so maybe even the Amoraim don't argue. Maybe the Amoraim don't argue either, that Rav Chisson and Rav Lazar also are in agreement. Each one is just talking about a different type of Chatzar HaShutfim. Rav Chisson says Yechayiv and Shein V'regel B'Chatzar HaShutfim must be talking about a Chatzar that you're allowed to bring Peros, but you're not allowed to bring Shvarim. Rav Lazar says Yepatar and Shein V'regel and Chatzar HaShutfim must be talking about the kind of Chatzar HaShutfim that's Dumya Debika, where everybody's allowed to bring their Peros and their animals. Samalei in. So Ravina said to Rav Acha Midifti, yeah, it could be that there's not even a machlokas Amoraim at all over here. Ve'imtim salomar pligi. And if you want to say that they are arguing, so it could be that they're not arguing in every type of chatzar shulfim. But kushit Rabbi Zera b'piruka da Abaye pligi. Their machlokas is in the svar of Rabbi Zera in his kasha and Abaye in his teretz. Meaning, Rabbi Lazar holds like Rabbi Zera's svar in his kasha, that a chatzar shulfim that's only designated for peros, it has to be considered, Rabbi Zera thought, has to be considered a chatzar HaShutfim, should not be able to be considered a rishus acher, because I have every right to be there as much as you have a right to be there. And then Rav Chista holds like Abaye's teretz, that no, if I'm not allowed to bring my shor, this is very much your rishus when it comes to my shor being there. That must be what they argue about. But if it's a chatzar that's really miyuchedes l'shneim for both peros and for shvarim, maybe everyone would agree that it has a din of a rishus harabim, and there's no chiv of shein regel at all in such a chatzar. So now we're going to go back to that brisa where Rabbi Shimon Elazar formulated these four klalos, and we're going to elaborate and try to explain them. Gufa. So we had a brisa. Arba klalos hay Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer ben Izakin. Rabbi Shimon Elazar said four rules when it comes to whose property the damage happens in. Kol shu reshus l'nizik v'ol l'mazik chayiv bakol. Whenever my animal trespasses into your property and damages your property, so then I'm going to be chayiv in everything because it had no right to be trespassing. So chayiv on everything. So says the Gemara, what is this al hakol? So it says chayiv bakol. It doesn't say al hakol. al hakol lo katani, ela chayev bakol. It doesn't say you're chayev on everything, it says you're chayev in everything. So bekulei nezek, it means in all of the nezek. So it's coming to be mechadesh that even when you would, in a situation where you would normally only pay chatzi nezek, like keren tam, ashar tam, that gores, still in this case you're going to pay nezek shalin. So says Gemara, money, who's the Tana that actually holds this way, that even ashar tam is going to pay nezek shalin when it trespasses? Rabbi Tarfon, this is the din of Rabbi Tarfon, to Amar, the sheet of Rabbi Tarfon, to Amar, Meshuna, Karen, Bechatzar, Nizik, Nezek, Shalim, Meshalim, that a Hezek Meshuna of an animal that's done, meaning Nizke Karen, which is by definition Meshuna because it's a short time, in a Chatzar Nizik is still going to have to pay Nezek, Shalim, and not Chatzi Nezek like it would normally pay in a Rishos HaRabim. So says Gemara, Eima Seifa, but if we're going to say that our, that the Tana is Rabbi Tarfon, that we're following the Shita of Rabbi Tarfon, but the fourth rule that we had mentioned was Lola Zev, Lola that if neither the Mazik nor the Nizik had a right to be there, it was a chatzah that belonged to neither one of them, chayiv bala shein vala regel. You're chayiv on both shein and regel. So the Gemara is going to explain what that line means and why it can't be Rabbi Tarfon, why that's going to cause us trouble. So my lola zeh v'lola zeh, what do we mean that neither has rights to be there? If it's kipshuto that lola zev lola zev klal ela da'acher, that neither one has any rights to be there at all, they're both trespassing on somebody on a third party's rishus, and they both happen to be there. Vabino bir b'steacher, but in order to be chayv in shein v'regel, you need it to be ubir b'steacher. That has to steacher means the field of the nizik, vileka, and it's not the field of the nizik if they're both trespassing. So it doesn't make any sense that you're going to be chayv. Elapshita lolazev lolazeh eladachad. Clearly, what it must mean when it says lolazev lolazeh is that they don't both have the right to be there, but one of them does have the right to be there. Meaning, the nizik has the right to be there, but they don't both have the right to be there. The Rashba raises the question that if it's some matter of shusha nizik, how could the Brisa say lolazev lolazeh? It should have said lolazeh vilazeh. It should mean to say lola zeh v'lola zeh, throw in the extra low. If it would have said lola zeh ula zeh, so you could have touched that up both ways. That the low is going on both, or the low is only going on the first lola zeh, and then you have the second lola zeh means and came lola zeh. But once you add in that extra word v'lola zeh, so that's very difficult. So he says no, it must mean lola zeh v'lola zeh l'shvarim. That they don't both have the right to bring oxen in there, but one of them has the right to bring his peros in there. So the Gemara finishes off the kasha now. V'katani, so it says V'katani Seifa, this fourth klal says that apparently we're talking about a case where the nizik has a right to be there. That tam mishalim chatzi nezik mur mishalim nezik shalim. That a tam pays chatzi nezik mur pays nezik shalim. But asan the rabbanon, that goes like the sheet of the rabbanon who argue on Rabbi Tarfon. Tamri mishuna keren bechatzra nezik chatzi nezik du mishalim. So Rabbi Tarfon to save Rabbanan, meaning the Rabbanan who argue in Rabbi Tarfon hold that if my animal trespasses into your property and damages with Keren and it's a short time, it only pays Chatzi Nezek. Rabbi Tarfon said Nezek Shalim. So here you have the first klal of Rabbi Shimon Elazar follows Rabbi Tarfon. The fourth klal of Rabbi Shimon Elazar, the way we're touching it up now at least, follows the Chacham who argue in Rabbi Tarfon. So says Gemara in. You have to say that the Reish is going like Rabbi Tarfon, the Seif is going like the Rabbanan. Because when the Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to explaining the Mishnah we have in tomorrow's daf, Shinina, sharp one, Shvok Masnisin, stop trying to be Miyashev, the Mishnah according to one Shita, Vita Basrai, and explain like me, Reisha Rabbi Tarfon, the Sefer Rabbanan, that the Reisha follows Rabbi Tarfon, the Sefer follows the Rabbanan. So just like that's the way we're going to explain the Mishnah, and we're perfectly comfortable saying that a Mishnah splits between Rabbi Tarfon and the Rabbanan, so explain the Braisa the same way that the first din in the Braisa is going like Rabbi Tarfon, and the last din in the Braisa switches to go like the Rabbanan. So then the Gemara says, but maybe there's another way to be Miyashev the Stira from klal number one in the Braisa to klal number four in the Braisa, because it's not kishmak to say that it's a blatant Stira and we're just following two different Shitos, because then it's not really four klalim. It's machlokes about one of those klalim. So says Gemara, Ravina b'shmei de Rava Amar, we could be Miyashev the Stira as follows. Kula Rabbi Tarfani. The whole price is going like Rabbi Tarfani. Remember, what did Rabbi Tarfani say? That if my animal goes into your property and damages your property, even a short time, that damages the Karen, it's going to pay Nezek Shalem. So how do we explain the fourth klal? Umay lo lezeh ve lo lezeh. What does it mean in the fourth klal when it says lo lezeh ve lo lezeh, it's only going to pay chatzi nezek? Lo lezeh ve lo lezeh leperos. It means that it's not a chatzra shutfim for us to bring peros in. Ela dechad, only one of them, only the nizik is allowed to bring peros in. Lezeh u lezeh leshvarim. But both the nizik and the mazik are allowed to bring oxen into it. So that's why there's a chiluk. The legabi shein havila chatzar nizik. When it comes to shein, it's a chatzar nizik because he's allowed to bring in the peros. Legabi keren. When it comes to keren, where they're both allowed to bring in oxen, havila rishus harabim as the din of rishus harabim. And everyone agrees that a short time in rishus harabim is only going to pay chatzin nizik. So here you have this property that's not clearly labeled the Rishus HaNizik or Rishus Rabim. It really depends what kind of damage we're talking about. For Shane, it's a Rishus Shel Shneim. It belongs to both of them because they're both allowed to bring their peros in. But when it comes to it's a Rishus HaNizik because only the Nizik is allowed to bring his peros in. But when it comes to Karen, it's a Rishus Rishus HaRabim because they're both allowed to bring their Shvarim in. Fraktigmar Ihachi Arba'a Shloshavu. If that's true though, then it's not four klalim, it's three klalim, because the first three klalim and the dinim that are included in the fourth klal already said in the first three klalim, because by Shein it's considered a Rishus HaNizik, and the first klal was about Shein and Rishus HaNizik. By Karen it's considered Rishus HaRabim. The third klal was about Karen and Rishus HaRabim. So there is no fourth klal. It's not adding anything new. So Amar Nachum Yitzchak explained Shlosha Klalos Ba'arba Makomos. Yeah, Eino Kinami. There are three rules. There are three basic Rishuyos that have different rules when it comes to Nizakin, Rishus Nizik, Rishus Hamazik, and Rishus Hashutpim. But there are four ways to formulate cases that involve those rules. Because aside from those three basic types of Rishuyos, you have this mixture Rishus, this Tyroves, that sometimes for some halachos is considered Rishus HaNizik, and for some halachos is considered Rishus Shel Shneim. So as far as halacha is concerned, you're right, there are only three halachos. But as far as types of Rishuyos that we could identify, there are really four types of Rishuyos. Okay, so now we move on. Mishnah moves on to explaining how we assess payment when it comes to paying for damages. So we're going to say some very vague things in the Mishnah, and then the Gemara is going to elaborate on each one. So first, shum kesef. When we assess a damage, when we evaluate payment for a damage, it's done based on monetary value. We don't say, the Gemara is going to explain, this means we don't say that if my cow damages your talus, that we say, oh, cow, talus, you damaged your talus, and the cow did it, so you take the cow now. And the cow is worth $3,000, the talus is worth $30. So you don't just say, oh, just swap them out. No, we have to actually assess how much it's worth. What's the havamina to just, well, okay, we'll have to see. But we don't, we have to actually evaluate the monetary value of the damage. Bifnei beisdin, and it has to shava kesef. Second rule is, you have to pay with that which is shava kesef, which is karka. The Gemara is going to question that. Really, you have to pay with karka. You can't pay cash. You can't pay with subin. You can't pay with other things. But that's what the Mishnah seems to be saying. They have to pay shava kesef, which we're assuming means karka. Bifnei beisdin, the payment has to be made bifnei beisdin. We'll explain that in Gemara today as well. Ve'al pi eidim. And you can only be mechayev, the mazik, to pay if you have shnei eidim that saw that it was his mammon, that it was actually mazik. And those eidim have to be b'nei chorin, they cannot be avadim, and b'nei bris, they have to be Jewish, v'nashim b'chal hanezek. And women are included in dinei nizakin, meaning if you damage a woman's property, or a woman's property does damage, so it's going to be all the regular dinim. She's a full-fledged Jew, with every regard, but with regard to nizikin as well. V'anizik v'amazik b'tashlumin. And both the nizik and the mazik are going to share the burden of tashlumin, which we'll have to discuss. Now the din about women, that women are included, should have l'chora been in the previous Mishnah, because that's where we discussed that the nechassim that the mazik is chayev for, meaning it's l'chora doesn't really belong over here about who's included in the damage. That should have been discussed when we spoke about how you're not chayiv for damaging hegdish, but you are. So we should have said, yeah, but you are chayiv if you damage a woman's property, right? That's where lechora it really belongs. So the Rashash explains that since the Mishnah said al piedim and bnei bris and nashim are not bechlal bnei bris. So, and we just used the term b'nei bris, so because women are pasul le'edus, so right away it has to say, yeah, even though women are pasul le'edus, but they aren't included in the zikun. We never would have had a havamina that they're not until we brought up those words b'nei bris. So once we're talking about b'nei bris, so it sounds like we're excluding women from some part of the process. So we say, yeah, they just can't be edim, but they're absolutely included in all of the normal halachos of Nezikin. So it says Gemara, for this first qualification we mentioned in the Mishnah, my shum kesef. What does it mean, shum kesef? Rav Yudah, shum ze lo ye el bekesef. When Beis Din assesses the damage, they have to assess the monetary value of the damage. Tanin laha, detan rabban. We have a brisa that says just like this, that says parashi zika talis. If a cow damages a talis and ruins it, v'talis she zika para, or the talis damages a para. How can a talis damage a para? Magic carpet. What is it? How does a talis damage a para? Someone left his talis in Rosh Hashanah, so it's a barber Rosh Hashanah. So the para was walking the Rosh Hashanah, trips over the talis and hurts itself. So ein omrim teitzei para b'talis. We don't say, okay, let the Beis Din take the para that did the damage and give it to the nizik as payment for his talis that got damaged, even if the para is worth way more than the talis that got damaged. And also, we don't say that the talis b'para, that you could swap out the talis for the para, even if it's worth way more than the para, el shamana. So you have to actually assess b'damim. You have to actually assess how much it's worth, and you only pay that. You don't pay any more than that. So that's the first din of the Mishnah, and lechora, that's a davar pashut. But that's the first din of the Mishnah. Shava kesef. Second din of the Mishnah is that you pay with shava kesef. So first of all, what does it mean? And then we're going to have to explain why it's correct. So the Tan Rabbanim, the Brisa says as follows: Shava kesef milamit shein Beis Din niskakin el nechas m'sheish shanachrayis. That if Beis Din is going to confiscate your property to pay for damage that you did, Beis Din can only confiscate karka to pay for damage that you did. Avlam kadim nizik v'tavas metaltlin Beis Din gov lo mehen. But if the nizik comes and he takes the metaltlin from the mazik himself, so Beis Din is gov the chov from that as well. But as far as what Beis Din is going to do, they're only going to go after the karka. So Amar Shabba Kesef Namachin Beis Din is kakam al chasim sheish la machrayus, that they're Beis Din themselves are only going to go after karka. My mashma, how does the word shava kesef imply karka more than anything else? Shava kesef l'chora means anything that has any value. So Amar Rabba Bar Ula davar shava kol kesef. It means people will pay any amount of money, even way more than it's actually worth. When it comes to real estate, location, 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 if they need that piece of real estate, they want to build a shopping mall, and there's one, they want to build whatever, a development over there, and there's one person that owns one piece of property that they just have to buy out in order to be able to, so they'll pay way more than it's worth in order to be able to buy that person out, in order to be able to build whatever it is that they want to build there. My nihu, so what does it mean, davar she'en lo onah? This is something there's no din of onah. By karka, there's a din that there's no din ein onah b'karkaos, that even if you pay way more than it should, than its market value, the mocher doesn't have to give back the money to the lokeach. There is no din of onah. Tosos points out that it's within reason that onah normally is up to 1/6. That if it's more than 1/6 off, so then it's batal mekach and the whole thing is by karkaos. It's not that there's no din of onah at all. Tosos points out that once you're paying double, then there's a din of onah. Once you're paying double or half, then the mekach is actually batal. When we say it's shava kol kesef, it means in comparison to metaltlin, where there's onah of 1/6, by karka there's not onah of 1/6. However, the Rif, the Rashi, the Meiri say that there's no onah at all by karkaos, even when it's less than half or more than double of the value. So the Nitzivim Rome Sad is medayik from the Lashon of Rashi over here, where Rashi says Shafilu kamna biyosmi demei and shsus ein mocha chayv lachzilo, that even if it's off by a sixth, you don't have to return it. So it sounds like Tosfos, that it's that, yeah, if it's off by 6, you don't have to return it. But if it's way off, maybe then you would have to return it. So what's the svara? Why is it that Eino Na El Karkos? And then maybe you could figure out whether it's Eino Na Klal, or it's only if it's off by less than a half. So the Shita of the Ri, in Tosfos Masechet Babasud of Samach Aleph, is that it's a Gzeres HaKosov, that the Gemara darshans by Metzion and Vav, from a Klal of Prat to Klal, that Karkos, there's no din of Ono bar Karkos, just a Gzeres HaKosov, it is what it is. However, the Rashbam in Masechet Babasra and Daf Samach Aleph over there, in Masechet Babasra and the Chinuch, Mitzvah Shin Lam and Zayin, say, Eino Na Le Karkos, because there is no set value for Karkos. Someone who pays a lot of money for this field, so that becomes the value of that field. Meaning one could say, well, a four-bedroom house in North Woodmere isn't worth $800,000. Well, guess what? If someone's willing to pay it, it's worth $800,000. So that's what makes it, that's what sets the value. It's not called that he was hisanet, that he was cheated. So even though the Gemara learns it from a pasuk, the Stipe points out what we're learning from the pasuk is that there is no mechir for karka, and that karkos is not based on whatever the shuk sets. It's based on what this guy is willing to pay for it. So those are the two possibilities. Now it could be that they plug in that if it's a gzeres hakasav, that the gzeres hakasav is that there's simply no at all. But if it's that it's based on the lokeach, so maybe that's within reason. If he's the only guy on earth that's willing to pay anywhere near that ballpark, so you're not going to say that that's called that becomes the market value. So avadim ushtaros. So I asked the Gemara. So we're saying, but by metalpim mirzona. So fact number. But if that's the case, avadim ushtaros nami no. Avadim ushtaros is also no una. So should we say the Brisa says the basin is only gove from karka, but not from avadim ushtaros. But if it's all based on una, that's what basins gove from things that don't have a din of una. They should be gove from avadim ushtaros as well. So the Gemara says alam rab barula davra nikna bekesef. When we say shava kesef, it means anything that the kinyan on it is kesef. In order to acquire metaltalin, you do hadba, you do meshicha. Kesef is not kona metaltalin. Kesef is one of the kinyane karka. Kesef, shtar, chazaka, those are the kinyane karka. So why the term shava kesef implies karka, not because you whatever you pay for it is its value. Nothing to do with ona. It's something that's nikna b'kesef. Avadim ushtaros nami nikna b'kesef. Ask the Gemara, yeah, but avadim ushtaros could also be acquired with kesef. Ala marvashi, third possibility, shava kesef velo kesef. That when we say shava kesef, you know how we know it means karka? Because it means something that's worth kesef, but isn't kesef itself. So vahani kulu kesef nu. All metalflin, including avadim ushtaros, have a din of kesef themselves, because you can move it around just like kesef, and you could barter it just like kesef. But karka can't move. Karka is real estate, so that's only shava kesef, but isn't kesef itself. So Rami le Rav Yehuda bar Chinan Rav Huna bar Rav Yeshua Tana shava kesef lamid shein bezin is kaka melon chasum sheish lan archayis. On the one hand, we say that bezin is only going to collect karka. Va tanya, but don't we have another brayse that says yashiv l'rabba shava kesef afilu subin, that in order to pay for nezikin, you use even shava kesef, even subin, even bran, even the cheapest type of metaltalin could be used. So which is it? Does bezin only collect from karka, or can you use any type of metaltalin? So says Mara, hachamei askinan, the mission of the brayse is talking about biyasmi, when Yisomim are paying Niske Avihem, that's where Bezin is only Gova Karka, not Metaltlin, because Metaltlin of Yisomim are not Meshubad to Balchov. But from the Mazik himself, in Achinami, we would collect any Metaltlin, even Subin. Ibi Yasmi, Ema Seifa, but if we're talking about Yisomim, then how come the Seifa says, Im Kadam Nizik Vitafas Metaltlin Bezin Govan Lomahen? Ibi Yasmi, I might Bezin Govan Lomahen. The Seifa goes on to say that if the Nizik himself goes and grabs it from the Mazik, so then he's allowed to keep that. So he's allowed to keep the metaltalin. But if we're talking about Yisomim, you're not allowed to go grab the metaltalin from the Yisomim. And so Gemara, Kedam Rav Am Rav Nachman, like Rav says in Rav Nachman, that Shetafas Mechayim, that the case is that he grabbed it while the father was still alive. So Achanayim, Shetafas Mechayim, over here also, we can explain that's the case. As long as he grabbed it while the father was still alive, so then you could be gove the metaltalin that he was tofes. Bifnei Bezin, we had mentioned in the Mishnah that it's got to be in front of Bezin. So we're assuming this means that the karka that you're collecting from, that the Bezin is collecting from the mazik, has to be in front of Bezin, that has to be biyad a mazik, and not biyad the person that bought it from him. prat lemocher nechasa v'achar kacholich lebeisdin, as opposed to a case where he sold his property and then they went to Beisdin. Shema mina lava mocher nechasa v'achar kach bal lebeisdin ein beisdin govan lamehen. That if he already lent out his property or gave away his property, sold his property, then it's too late. Beisdin is not allowed to be gove that property. But that's incorrect. Meaning, how can you say that? The halacha is not that way. The halacha is really that you can be gove from lekuchos. So ella prat lebeisdin adiotos. No, when we say bifnei beisdin, we're not talking about if he gave up the property. We're just simply saying that it's got to be in front of a legitimate beisdin. It can't be in front of a beisdin shel adiotos. You need a beisdin of dayanim mumchim to actually deal with the property. Okay, Baruch Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up from Al Pi Edim, and hopefully I'll be a little more prepared. So, okay.